The date was July 4th, 2012. The place was San Diego. They were about to celebrate their 4th of July. And they had on the schedule one of the most complex fireworks setup ever attempted. And it went off with a bang. 5 separate locations spanning the Bay Area going off in sync. All 5 locations looking forward to a 20-minute non-stop display, but they had one small technical issue. Just one small technical issue. All 5 locations of fireworks set off all the fireworks simultaneously, and for the next 27 seconds, the light lit up the sky. 20 minutes worth of fireworks set off in 27 seconds. Apparently, it was quite the sight to see and hear and feel. If you want to watch it, Google it. It's phenomenal. The whole purpose of these types of displays is to push the boundaries, looking for something more, something that will catch the attention of the audience, something that they will remember. And dare I say, the people in San Diego in 2012 will never forget what they saw and experienced. I can tell that there's some who have seen this. It's great. Today we are celebrating the birthday of the church, Pentecost. It is amazing when you think about it. Almost 2,000 years ago, the church began with a bang. We are celebrating Pentecost, and I want to take a look at what happened that very day. It's found in the book of Acts in chapter 2. We're taking a break just for 1 week from Romans until we get back to it. But here, God is doing something more. He puts on a little pyrotechnic display of his own. He does something amazing to get the attention of those people who were there. Let me read to you from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, can you imagine what it had been like to be at that church service? That would have been phenomenal. You're sitting there and you're worshiping God, and then all of a sudden this rushing wind comes in, and this things that look like flaming tongues comes and flies all over the place and lands on people's heads, and they begin speaking another language. That would have been phenomenal. It would have been so awesome. Can you imagine the surprise you would have felt if you heard that sound of that rushing wind just... And then one of those tongues of fire comes and rests on your head. And you begin to praise God in a language that you have never learned. Suddenly you are speaking in Swahili or Gaelic, French, Russian, German, Italian, Spanish. And now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. So not only have you heard the wind, you've seen the flames, you're speaking in a language you've never learned, but now you're being understood by thousands of people on the street who notice what is going on and they come rushing to see. They hear you declaring the wonders of God, praising Him in their language. That would be pretty wild. That would be incredible to have been there, wouldn't it? But why would God want to do something like this? Well, simply because he wanted to do something that would catch the attention of the crowd. He wanted something that they would remember for a long time. In fact, God was so intent on this particular event that he prophesied it 800 years before. By the prophet Joel. If you skip down in chapter 2 to verse 16, it declares that Peter said, "This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." He tells them, the prophet Joel told us about this. Now there are some folks that get all tied up with the pyrotechnics of this event. They focus on the tongues of fire, the rushing wind, the speaking in tongues, and they get caught up in that. They get all excited about the attention getters. They fail to understand that those were just attention getters. Nothing more. The wind, the flames, the tongues were all just window dressing for the message that God had prepared for them. The message that he wanted to get across that day. You see, once God got the crowd's attention, Peter gets up and he begins to preach. And there's no more wind. There's no more flame. There's no speaking in tongues. It's just a powerful sermon that does more than those spectacles could ever have accomplished on their own. And Peter preached an incredibly powerful message. You see, if we want to make an impact, we first of all need to be completely committed and devoted to Christ. That's the very basis of what we need. And as we're sold out to Jesus, we want to also focus on God's Word. We get into the Word. We get it into our heads, into our hearts, into our hands. And once the Word is there, then we can mobilize ourselves for ministry. And we'll see fruit, and we'll be fulfilled, and the church will be fortified when we use our God-given gifts for ministry. And this is done when we pray with faith. As we pray earnestly, God will answer. We've seen answers by God in our midst. We've seen miracles. Even if we have some doubt, we pray with faith. And then we naturally want to worship our amazing God. We see that God is so incredibly awesome, the creator of all things, that he could do these amazing things. And we want to worship him with reverent and rejoicing hearts. We raise our hands and say, we're just loving our King. We do it corporately. We do it as individuals. And we begin to care for other believers. And we tell others the gospel message. Now this morning as a congregation, we have an opportunity to practice this in an incredibly unique way. You see, a reality of our society is people come and go. There are hundreds of reasons why we have such a mobile society. And the church is a place where we see people come and people go. It's just a reality. Sadly, when people leave, they often just stop coming. They just don't tell us. They just stop. And they're not here for a week and nobody thinks anything of it. They're not here for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. After a month, we start wondering, where did they go? 5 weeks and we begin to forget that they were here. But then there are others who leave in, well, a spectacle equal to Pentecost. Yet today we can take the opportunity to bless one of our members who's moving away. I've asked Krista to come and share with us what's going on. And then we're going to have the deacons come and pray after she's shared. Oh, you're bringing extras? That's awesome. And we're going to have the deacons come and pray blessing upon her this morning and her kids. So, Krista, would you come and share with us?
So when Dave asked me to speak this morning, he gave me 5 points. So 5 points I have attended to. Point one, the highlights of Maranatha. I have been coming here for almost 5 years. It'll be 5 years in August that I would have been here. And I've worked in a few different areas in the church. I've worked in junior church. I've done service leading. I've worked in the kitchen on the fellowship committee. And I remembered also that I've done summer lamplighters. And I've probably been in a few other places too, but that's what I can remember. Number two, where am I going and why? I'm moving to outside of Ottawa, to a little town called Kinburn. And I'm moving because it's time for a fresh start. My family is there, all my aunts and uncles and my parents, so we'll be hanging out with our family now. We'll be close to our cottage, which is a drawing card for us. We love our cottage, and so we'll be just 2 hours away instead of 2 days away. And I'm also going to set up my business there. So some of you might not have known that I took a course in the fall for event and wedding planning, so I will be setting that business up once I get there. Point number three, things I have learned at Maranatha. I had trouble thinking of this, but then I came up with one word, and this covers a lot of different areas. So the word I came up with is acceptance. I grew up in a fairly strict Baptist church where you stand at this hymn, you sit at this hymn, you sing these verses, you wear this clothes, you have your King James Bible open. So when I came here, it's not like that at all. But that's okay, because there's different ways of worshiping God. Acceptance in that you accepted me right away and my family. You didn't ask us questions. You didn't put stereotypes or stigmatize us in any ways. Acceptance just that we're all different and we all are at a different point in our lives and that we can just learn from each other. So, one word, but it covers a lot of things. Number four, the things I will miss about being in Maranatha is definitely the friends that I've made here. I have a very wonderful group of friends, and God has blessed me that way. I love Sunday school, so I will miss that. The churches I'm looking at in Ottawa or outside of Ottawa don't seem to have Sunday school, so I will be missing Sunday school. The sense of community I will miss, but of course I will look to plug into a new church. And the close proximity to church, because where we're moving is in a little town outside of the city. It's a travel wherever we're going, 15 minutes, half an hour to go to church. So I will miss being 5 minutes away from church as well. And point number five, why Pastor Dave is the best pastor I will ever have? Well, here it is. The date was, and the place was. And I like Pastor Dave because he's real and he's not pretentious and he doesn't put on airs. So,
I told you not to answer that one.
I said it was a joke, but I had to.
We do have an Ottawa E-Free church, but unfortunately their services are in Chinese, so
yes,
that's
that
probably
out.
Not going to help you.
Yeah.
Deacons, would you come forward at this time, and we're going to just have a moment of having them pray and bless her and commission her to go forth into the Ottawa area, not just her, but her and her kids as well.
Taking this one too.
I've done my baby days.
Would someone like this begin?
Lord, we read in your word that behold, old things have passed away. Now I declare new things. And Lord, this is a new thing for this family, a new beginning. And we thank you that your spirit is present with them, and we know that it will go with them. We pray today for a mighty anointing on Krista as she leads her family, and that anointing, that she will feel your presence and that she will have the courage to follow your voice. Thank you so much for the time that we have had with her. And now we give her into your hands, and we thank you that those are the best hands we can give them into. We know that your presence will go with her. Thank you for that assurance, in Jesus' name.
Lord, thank you for Krista and her children, all that they brought to us. I pray that in their new home, many friends will be found. And happiness and peace for Krista. I pray success for her new business. Mm-hmm. I pray these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen, Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Krista. Krista, you've been such a blessing to me too, and Emma and Regan. I just pray as you go that God would bless you immeasurably and just open up the windows of heaven and pour down on you and your children. He's holding you in your hands. He's got your whole family in his hands. He's protecting you and he's guiding you. He's strengthening you. He's got a path set forth for you, which you'll go. And I just pray you'll find a church that you'll get settled and established in, and that you can serve him there and just grow and be rooted there and planted by the waters, and that your roots will grow deep there. And you have the blessings of family and friends in your new home. So I just pray success and exponential growth for your business, and just good friends for Reagan and for Emma and for Krista, and good time with her family. Just go with our blessing. In Jesus' name.
Oh, Father, you're so good to us. We will miss her, Lord. Your word says, the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. He himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like the grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. Father, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is your loving kindness on Krista. That love relationship, that belonging together, everything else is wind and chaff. But you are her source, and we pray that you'll bless her, keep her, fill her with your spirit and with wisdom in being with family, with meeting new friends, all this stuff, Lord. All this stuff is just on the outside, Lord. With you, she can do anything. We can do all things through you, Lord Jesus. And so we bless her and ask her to just follow you, Lord, to trust you. And Regan and Emma, bless them. Thank you so much for them. We will miss them. We ask this all in your precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Lord, I thank you for Krista. I thank you so much that her talents, her gifts that you've given her. Lord, I thank you. People don't even know all the work she's done in the kitchen in these last 5 years, along with her kids. Lord, I just pray that in this next church that she would have that opportunity and use her organization and her gifts of food and her mathematical skills to figure stuff out. And Lord, I'll miss her a lot, and this church will miss her a lot. And Lord, I just pray that you'll allow the church that she's going to use her gifts and the kids as well. I just pray a blessing on her, and thank you so much for bringing her to us and using her gifts with us. I thank this in your name.
Father God, you have called us into being through your love. You have joined us to one another in love. And how awesome it is when your people dwell together in unity. I ask that you would shine your light upon Krista and Emma and Regan, that others would see the glory of eternal life in them. Give this family the strength to carry your blessing from this place to the next. May the lamp of your word guide their feet on unsure paths of life. I thank you for the time that you have given us as a congregation to get to know our spiritual sister, Krista, and her children, Emma and Regan. I pray that you would carry our memory with them in their coming journey. And Father, as a disciple of Jesus, we accept our commission from you to invest our lives in others. Give these workers in your harvest the power, the wisdom, and the courage to boldly live a kingdom life in all the places of your choosing. May Jesus be in their lives, and may they always and everywhere model the life of Christ with authenticity, with great zeal. Give them eyes to see the path of service you desire for them. Give them ears to hear the cry of the world's needs that you have equipped them to meet. Continue to nurture them with the heart of a servant. Our lives are but a breath, but our breaths are drawn from your divine spirit. And you have created us as walking paradoxes, specks of dust, and divine image bearers. And I pray that this family would be a family, as a family, be strengthened. As individuals, I pray that they would grow deeper in fullness and being and spirit in you. I pray that you would be their Jehovah Jireh to them, God our provider. Give them perseverance when they are tired, that they would not grow weary in doing well. And we commission them for your service. In Jesus' name, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray these things. Amen. Now, this is not Krista's last week here. Your last week is June 22nd. So there are a couple of weeks to continue to say goodbye to her and bless her. That is a practical way to view Pentecost. Now, the message of Pentecost is actually a fairly simple one. It's simply this. You and I, we're sinners. We deserve to go to hell, but Jesus died in our place, and he died because of our sins. Our sins put him on that cross. Your sins and mine have been the reason, or was the reason, that Jesus was nailed to the cross. But it wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for God's plan and purpose for him to be there. The idea that God would so freely forgive is hard for many to understand. But once people are confronted by the blood-stained Savior, it can change their lives forever. Now, I want to spend just a couple minutes looking at a few principles about this Pentecost. What can we learn from Pentecost? In verse 42 of chapter 2, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Now, a couple of nights ago, I was watching one of my favorite channels. It's the Food Network. And the host asked this chef if he could have a grit. And the chef responded in his southern ways, is there's no such thing as a grit. They don't come by themselves. They come in a community of other grits. You can't just order one grit. It's grits. And you know, we're a lot like that. There's no just one grit. Some of us are grittier than others. But we're not here on our own. We are created to be community with others. Other people have touched our lives. Parents, neighbors, friends, Sunday school teachers. Some have touched you for the better. Others may have made you cry. But God made us that way. He said it's not good for human beings to experience the oppression, the isolation, aloneness, and the wounds of the heart. You and I were created for community. You are made to have an intimate relationship, to serve people lavishly, to share the stuff that you have, to build the life or into the lives of the people around you, to have people to whom you can entrust secrets, the secrets of your heart, to laugh, to praise, to cry, to pray with. Here's the weird truth about human beings. While we long for acceptance and community, we run from it. It's been said that when humankind fell from grace, we inherited not only a tendency to hide from God, but a tendency to hide from one another. We struggle with conflicting desires. On the one hand, we desire to be close to one another, and on the other, we want to be holding that person at arm's length. And we've learned to be suspicious of other people's motives. And at times, we've taken advantage of, and we fear being burned again. And so we erect these barriers around us. And these barriers try to insulate us from one another. And they become an impediment to the true community of church. And Jesus prayed that we might be one, even as He and the Father are one. But for that to happen, there's got to be a lot of walls that need to fall down. Suspicion has to be replaced with openness. Uncertainty has to be replaced with willingness. Fear has to be replaced with love. And on the day of Pentecost, that is precisely what happened. The barriers came falling down. The Holy Spirit of God moved in and produced a wonderful unity within that first group of believers. And the text describes the extent of that unity as it existed from the very beginning. For a while, they were allowed to live in a glorious oneness which only the Spirit can produce. They broke bread together regularly. They prayed to God together regularly. They learned daily from the apostles. They had something that was so incredible. But can we reproduce that here today? Can it be recaptured? I think it can when we allow Christ to be Lord and surrender to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our personal lives. When the Holy Spirit took charge of the lives of those believers that day of Pentecost, He produced a unity among them, a diverse multitude that had gathered from all nations, all tongues. They melted together by the divine love in a union which was spiritual in nature. It was divine in origin. Think about it. All those people from all those different places who didn't know one another because they couldn't even speak to each other were gathered that morning by the Spirit. And they melted together into unity when God's Spirit became a reality in their lives. They were with each other because they believed the same thing. They had placed their faith in Jesus, and now they were attempting to live out that faith. And it's only when we walk in the light of the truth of God's Word that we can enjoy true fellowship with one another. Because a common faith unites us. Christ loved them, and that love was infectious. They now could call one another brother and sister. Yet the beginning, they were part of a new family. Now this term, brother, it's an amazing term. It's a common term. Did you know that in the New Testament, the word brother occurs almost 1,400 times just in the New Testament? But the interesting thing of it is, at the beginning of the book of Acts, just over 900 of the New Testament occurrences start at the beginning of Acts. And they don't refer to a blood brother, but a spiritual brother. 500 times in the Gospels, it's almost exclusively speaking of a blood brother. And then you get to the book of Acts, you get to the beginning of the church, and suddenly the term brother is applied to spiritual brothers and sisters. It's a new relationship that existed amongst the believers. They couldn't express love and care and concern for one another freely and openly. The barriers had fallen down. They were one, one in faith, one in heart, and they were also one in mind. They had a mind to do, it has to do with our decision-making processes. And they not only believed the same thing, they had a desire to follow Jesus. They made the decision to do so together in a community with one another. They decided to follow through on what had happened to them. They were willing to acknowledge Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and that all other believers were their family. If we as a church who worships Jesus Christ, if we are ever going to express the unity of the Spirit, we must not only desire to do so, we must decide to do so together as one. These people were not only one in spirit, but they were one in purpose. Their purpose was to preach the gospel to every creature. Our deacons have been working on a new vision and purpose statement of core values of Maranatha. At our last congregational meeting, they were presented to you. As this is our focus. Our unity comes from the result of the Holy Spirit's action in our lives. Our purpose comes as a result of our decision to pull together as one body. Their unity led them to voluntarily and joyfully share with one another. There was spontaneous expression of what God had done in their hearts because they valued people over possessions. They cared, and so they gave. Our possessions are only a means by which His work can be accomplished. They're not ours, they're His. And we need to hold them in such a way that when He desires to use the stuff that He's given us, that we freely give it so that we can make a lie or make lives changed for His sake. We can enjoy the unity of the Spirit, the power of God, the effective ministry as we allow Christ to live His life through us. I'm going to close this morning with a story from the Seattle Special Olympics. A few years ago, 9 contestants assembled at the starting line for the 100-yard dash. At the gun, the contestants all started out with this relish to run the race. They all wanted to win. All of them except one boy, who within 2 steps out of that starting block stumbled and rolled, scraping his knee, and he began to cry. When the others heard him cry, every single one of those other 8 contestants stopped. One of them actually turned around and looked at him. A girl with Down syndrome ran back to him, bent down, and kissed his knee. She said, "This will make it better." And every one of those contestants came back to the boy who had stumbled. They helped him to his feet. And with arms over each other's shoulders, all 9 of them walked to the finish line together. They decided that they were one in unity. It didn't matter who wins. They were all winners. The stadium that day stood in applause for 10 minutes after seeing that incredible piece of unity. Folks, we're a church, and we stumble, and often we just leave others behind. But if we are to be a church that is united as one in purpose, in faith, in mind, for God's glory, we can't do that. We must be united, for we are reunited in the Spirit of God, which He gave us almost 2,000 years ago on Pentecost. Let's pray. Father God, You are an amazing God. And we thank You so much for our church family. Father, we thank You that You are our God, that You gave us Your Spirit, that we can be united as one in Your Spirit. I pray that we would take these principles from Your Word, and that we would put them into practice in our lives, that we truly would be a church united for Your glory, that we would gather with those in our building, that we would wrap arms around one another, that we would share burdens, that we would care for one another, that we would be united in faith, in mind, and in spirit. This we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord.